Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, presented by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
By the way, I'm taking this young lady to Israel. Yay. With a group of people. Of course they stood. So, and we will take in whatever form we have. I don't know whether you can, upload that on a little, what do you call that?
Thingy drive.
Stick, yeah. And insert it in the wall.
Something like that.
I don't think they will let that happen.
To stick it in the wall?
Yeah. I think they would.
It's a very interesting idea, however, though.
You know,
because if you could do it like on a SIM card, because you could stick it in there and it would,
yeah, and it would start humming. That's, yep, thank you, God received it, and then you can take it out.
I think
there'll be an angel of the wall who would tell you.
Who've never been there, they might be kind of wondering what in the world we're talking about.
It's called the Western Wall or the Kotel, and it's the last remnant of the temple, mm-hmm. Solomon's temple, the glory came. And when the glory of the Lord came, all the people, thousands of them, were on the floor. Right?
Yes, and in the history of Israel, and the beginning of the restoration of Israel, which actually started in the late 1890s, but in the 1967 war, the Jewish troops recaptured that area of the old city of Jerusalem. They had not been allowed there to that holy place for years and years and years. And that was one of the great victories and one of the moments of restoration. And obviously, once it was open and repossessed by Israel, it became the place that Jews from all over the world go. There's actually a picture. Thank you, Heather. That's one of the, that's the moment during the 67 war when they got back to the wall. And those are Israeli soldiers dancing the Israeli national, the Hora, it's called.
It's, realize the context of it, and the emotion when you have been crying out to be able to go back and have sovereignty in that place where King David and Solomon and all of that ruled and governed. So many others, the Ottoman Empire took over, and then the British, but it did not come back to the under the covering of the Israeli government until 1967. And I remember so well, I was a sophomore in college. And so we knew the history of it. I mean, it was an amazing event with Moshe Dayan,
yeah,
the one-eyed general. How many of you remember the Moshe Dayan? Yeah, he was leading the Israeli troops, and that we have had 1 year of the American embassy coming back to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv. This is all very amazing and part of history, and yet it is part of Scripture. So I'm grateful once again that we can go, but this time is the first time for me. I'm going to Israel, I lost count, 60 plus times or something. Because we went 23 years in a row to do the Feast of Tabernacles healing services. So, I don't know. I've lost count. I don't remember. Maybe 50. But to go, this is the first time we're going since the U.S. Embassy moved to Jerusalem. And they have the road that leads there, but one of the avenues is Donald Trump Avenue. I think they put that to recognize that they really honored President Trump because he has done
He fulfilled a promise that had been being made for 40 years by American administrations. And it's wonderful that this president fulfilled that promise on Israel's 70th birthday. And it just so happened to be the president's 70th birthday, too. So, I mean, it just, you know, kind of all together. But it was like a birthday present. So,
amen. But all of this, one of the main things that we can get from the Word of God is so juicy.
That's good.
You can get.
That's good.
As you come in faith, the Lord's Word meets you at so many different levels.
Amen.
On natural level, on spiritual level, on emotional level, on national level, on political level. It's and as you look at the world, what are you doing? It's a good question. What are you doing overall? What are you up to? And Lord, what word do you have for me? At whatever level you look at, the Word of God is alive and full of power, and you can draw from that Word. And one of the pictures that I felt like in this, in the context of this Word, was Naaman. In his hour, he was one of the most famous generals. Brilliant. But the Bible says he was a leper. And it's in 2 Kings scripture. And he asks, he's told by this slave girl that he's a prophet in Israel. There is a solution for your problem. Because I don't know how many of you have ever seen a leper. Thank God we don't see that, but on our different travels, we have ministered and prayed for people who are different stages of leprosy. And we had one, in fact, several healings from leprosy. The flesh was restored to a couple of cities in the Congo. But the word came to him, go to River Jordan. By the way, we are going to the River Jordan. And dunk yourself 7 times and you will be healed. And at first he has a struggle. How can this be? That's just nonsense. But he goes ahead and does it. And the flesh that has been eaten from him. I don't know. I mean, it could have been ears that he lost. He was malformed. His face may have been attacked. But it is 100% when he dunks the 7th time, he is totally restored, completely healed. And that's that word, restoration, becomes meaningful to us. That's how God wants to restore. So what is God doing? And there is a scripture that I want to read to you that it says, this is in the context, Acts chapter 3, where this crippled man has been sitting at the temple gates and the apostles come by and pray for him. And it says, and his name, the crowd gathers and says, what's happening? And says, it's Jesus. Faith in his name. Through faith in his name, verse 16, Acts chapter 3, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him, Jesus, has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I now know that you did it in ignorance, as you did also your rulers, I mean the crucifixion of Jesus. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so repent. Say repent.
Repent.
And therefore, then, as a result of us walking, repentance comes by us walking in humility. And someone says, there is wickedness here. And God does not want you to worship idols. For example, when Jonah went to Nineveh and says, repent. And he didn't think he thought there were such bad rascals that they would reject that word. And in fact, the king took that word seriously, made everybody fast and repent, humbled themselves. Even the camels and donkeys and goats had to fast. And the horses said nay, but they all fasted. And then God hearkened them and sent forgiveness to Nineveh. In the same way here, it says, this is what happens. Repentance must come. And repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. So repentance is a key for our sins to be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And that's talking about Jesus. But the word, so times of refreshing may come, so that the heaven must receive Jesus until the times of restoration of all things. Say restoration of all things.
Restoration of all things.
So this is, we see prophetically, just even on the natural then, and Israel is God's clock, God's time clock. What time is it? You look at Israel, because you read that in scriptures, that's God's time clock. What time is this on God's time clock? Well, it's the time of restoration.
Amen.
And we look at Israel and know what time it is. So you can see the land of Israel is a great example. And as we go, we're going to be holding a healing service and doing a watch at the Western Wall. It's going to be great. And I pray that each of you, may the Lord provide that sometime in your life you can go. That can be one of your aims. As we go, we stay in the hotel, so we spend money in Israel, and that's blessing Israel. So it makes sense at many levels. But you look at pictures of Israeli territory in 1900 or 1905, let's just say, and it's desolation. It's a desert. Very little green. It's been like a desert that's been neglected. And it was part of the Ottoman Empire, all of that. But God says, I am going to restore. And he started restoring the land by bringing the people of promise, the covenant people, the Israelites, back home in the 1905, 1904 kind of dates. And then ever since then, Bonnie and I have gone to Israel since 1977, mm-hmm. many, many times. And each year you go, there has been physical restoration. That means, I mean, green everywhere. You see green. Where it was desert, 100 years ago, it was desolation and desert. But this is, on one level, God bringing about his word and keeping his promise. But I want to speak that prophetically Amen. Over each of you, over your lives,
Thank you, Lord.
That God is doing a supernatural work. It does not matter what kind of devastation the devil may have done.
Yeah.
It does not matter what kind of oppression you may
yes.
have gone, or your. It doesn't matter whether your pa, your dad was an alcoholic, and how your family suffered. Don't look on that. Look that these are the times of restoration of all things. And God is sending from the throne his Holy Spirit to bless and to restore people and territories, families, and nations.
Amen. Amen. Psalm 102 speaks of the set time. The Moed say set time. In other words, that God has appointed specific times and seasons on his calendar that are in his plan and purpose. And in Psalm 102, it speaks of God's set time to favor, say favor,
favor.
Zion. And as well as a historical clock that ultimately is winding up towards the appearing of the Lord. Because you remember when his disciples said, you know, is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom? And then after the resurrection, the whole thing about when is your coming? And he said, no one knows the time but the Father. Meaning the Father has a set time and we are moving towards it. But Jesus said in Matthew 24 that there are certain ways that you can discern where we're at on the clock. And one of the principal ones in Matthew 24 is the parable of the fig tree. In Scripture, the church, covenant people, and Israel, the natural covenant people, Abraham's natural descendants and Abraham's spiritual descendants, the covenant peoples of God, are likened consistently to two trees. Israel to the fig tree and the church to the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. But in Matthew 24, he said, this is the way that you can discern what season the church, God's purpose and plan for the world is by looking at Israel. And he said, when you see the fig tree, Israel, beginning to put forth its leaves, you know summer is near. And he was saying, that's my time. That's God's time clock. Look at the fig tree and see what's happening. And so one of the absolutely amazing things about the Lord is the way he keeps his promises, whether the world recognizes it or not, whether anybody gets on board or not, he continues to do his thing. And every once in a while, he really demonstrates or manifests his way, and the church experiences it in seasons of revival. But Jeremiah 24, 5 through 7, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away, the captives of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. Very interesting about how times of difficulty actually are times of opportunity for us to experience the goodness of God and to lay hold more and more of our inheritance by being conformed to the image of Jesus. For I will set my eyes upon them for good. Say good. Michael emphasized again and again this morning the goodness of God. It was our banner of praise today. Good. Say good. I will bring them again to this land. He's talking about the geographical land of Israel. And I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return. Say return. And you remember the scripture, repent therefore that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. They shall return unto me with their whole heart.
Amen. So you see the big picture. It's always God gives us a big. I always say one of the apostolic principles is the big will define the small. Don't define the big from the small. It is the big. Going to all the world, preach good news to all creation. That's the big. In that, then, there is a missionary who goes to, you know, Angola, and he has a call, but it's from the general call, the bigger call. We are all called and helped. That's just one of the many things. So, for example, most of us have heard of the tragedy of the whole Second World War. And one of the, America played a major part, and thousands of Americans gave their lives so that the world would be free. And praise God. I mean, I get so mad at those people who throw rocks on America and say nasty things, because this nation has freed more people, served and blessed people and gave generously than any other nation in history. Anyway, but you would see the tragedy of the Second World War, and then the biggest tragedy, and I think there is some of your fathers or grandfathers who were involved in, even in here, you have, I know some who were experienced setting some of the concentration camps free and helping and see the devastation, and especially 6 million Jews being killed. Yeah. And you could say, how horrid, oh, how terrible the evil was. But even know this, it just will so encourage you that even out of massive tragedy, God turns it around and uses it for good and for blessing. That even this massive tragedy, the devastation, the desolation, as they were allowed to come back to Israel, the Jewish people then brought blessing back to the land. And they were blessed as they came back to Israel. But the land smiled. And you could see almost the land smiling. Out of all the hurt and the pain and the tragedy, God turns around and restores the Jewish people to their land and does a miracle that they have been praying about for 2,000 years. They prayed next year in Jerusalem, next year. And God brought that about. Yeah. But what we want to point out, the reason is important for us, because as restoration comes, it comes as we look at the Bible and look at history, that it is a simultaneous restoration. As he brings restoration to Israel, you'll find there is restoration coming and revival for his church.
Yeah, amen to that. One of the things that occurs to me in that is I'm thinking of the trips to Israel and visiting the Holocaust Museum there, Yad Vashem. And from the Jewish perspective, the literal physical fulfillment of Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of Dry Bones, where there just is this massive terrain covered with loose, bleached bones. And you know the story, the Lord speaks to the prophet and he says, can these bones live? Ezekiel says, Lord, you know. And then the Lord says, prophesy to these bones. Imagine yourself in that setting, really standing there and having an open technicolor vision with the Lord's presence, and it's just heaps of dried out bones. And then the Lord says to you, speak to that picture, speak to that vision, and began to say to it, come breath, breathe on these bones. And as you participate with the Lord, you see the bones coming together. Then sinews begin to grow on them. Then bodies, becomes an army. Well, from the Jewish perspective, the fulfillment of Ezekiel's prophecy occurred when the Holocaust survivors coming out of the concentration camps and out of the remnants of Europe after that war were beginning to return to Israel. And so when you go to Israel, to the Holocaust Museum, for instance, you'll see the comparison of that event to the fulfillment of the restoration promised by Ezekiel. And we understand in the church a parallel restoration for our lives, spiritually, personally, in every single way, with the coming of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Spirit.
Amen. So you see, I mean, and we talked a little about prophetically what the Lord was saying on Friday, but we referred, and I want to refer us back to Joel chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. We won't go over the whole thing, but a couple of choice verses there in the book of Joel. These are all remembered. These the Bible is very prophetic. It takes a verse here, and then it's like a jigsaw puzzle sometimes. And you put it together, and it's, for example, in about a few months, we're going to be focusing quite a bit on that little town of Bethlehem. And we're going to be singing and our crashes and all of that. But you find that in the Old Testament, several times, hundreds of years ago, 2,000 years ago, there were references to Jesus coming. So it is the most unique book. We need to realize that the Bible is a prophetic book. It has got prophetic words to it. Someone sent me, there was a man teaching, I think in California or wherever.
Oh, and Canada, actually.
Canada.
Yeah.
And they sent...
I think we actually have that clip.
But he said this was happened 20 years ago.
Yeah, one of our son's friends sent him, who sent us, as Mahesh said, just recently, of a
last
Canadian
week.
Pastor ministering on prophesying and really exhorting the people that we all should prophesy. And the illustration that he used about how powerful a word from the Lord is, especially in people's time of crisis and need. And he used the demonstration of their own daughter. And it was a beautiful and powerful thing. Heather, do we have that? I know we... I can't hear you. Okay.
We'll
show it to you next week or something.
But
go ahead.
No, you can. Go ahead. Well, I was in one of the arenas, I think. And there were, the family was in devastation because there were their teenage daughter was going through some
major health crisis. I think she was 15. Her name was Carrie. The pastor's wife name was Bonnie. And so they came to the conference, the pastor and his wife, and Pastor Mahesh was speaking. And they decided they'd come back the next night. And the next night, they brought their 15-year-old daughter with them. And it's beautiful the way he tells the story. That you were preaching, and then you literally stopped, and you said, there's a young girl here, and you described her, you named how old she was. I don't remember if you said her name or not, and described exactly what her physical condition was. And at the same moment, the mom and dad said, "That's Carrie." Carrie said, "That's me." And they came, and you ministered to her, and you told her that you had seen her the night before, the day before. You had actually seen her in a vision.
Prophetic.
And it had a profound emotional effect on the family, but she also got healed. Yeah. Prophecy. We shall all prophesy. I mean, you carry the word of the Lord. It's near you in your mouth. You carry the word of the Lord with the power to heal. And we are in a set time to favor Zion, meaning the Holy Spirit is being poured on us afresh in order that we might pour out on others. Everyone. Say everyone. Say, that means me. I got the word of the Lord and healing for someone.
These are examples. Whenever testimony comes, know the testimony is alive. So it'll do a miracle now, but you refer to it 10 years from now, it's still living because it's from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So I've learned to lay hold of God's word and his prophetic word. And you should all, we pray, you all get an impartation.
Amen.
To prophesy, become prophetic and be an instrument of restoration and redemption wherever you are, because that's what God is doing in the larger sense. And therefore, in the singular sense, in your personal sense, God is restoring. Say, he's restoring me.
He is restoring me and he's, all things.
Yeah. So he's restoring my finances.
Finances?
He's restoring my soul.
And my soul.
So if you've gone through years of abuse, and in our society we make a big thing of, well, this person has been abused, and therefore they can't come out. No. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be restored. You will be healed. And the power of the Holy Spirit will do that. And one of the examples then of massive, awesome national restoration is Israel. There is no greater example right now before us is that there were so many nations who wanted to destroy them. And Joel chapter 1 talks about the armies coming to devastate. And yet in the midst of it, the Lord says, sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land. The meat is cut off. And joy and gladness from the house of God. And then the Lord says, all of these conditions are there. We are in a condition of drought. And then the Lord tells us in chapter 2, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, let the priests and ministers weep between the porch and the and the altar. Then the Lord will be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied.
Yes.
And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far from you the northern army and will drive the enemy basically away. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Say, the Lord is doing great things.
The Lord is doing great things.
The Lord is doing great things. So turn around, tell your neighbor.
Yeah.
The Lord is doing great things.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Put your hand on your heart. Say, the Lord is doing great things.
The Lord is doing great things.
For me.
For me?
My family.
My family.
That's it's in the Bible, see. And then I personalize it. I lay hold of it in faith. Remember, I said at sometime in the beginning, whatever acts of faith, little faith will do mighty things. Just takes a little faith, but faith is required. And to each one, Bible says, he has given you faith. Hallelujah.
And he's beautifully specific. He says, I will send corn. Say corn. Wine. And oil. And if you just stop for a moment and think about it, he's speaking of bread, strength, the things we eat, we need for strength and health for a full life, for an able and capable life. And then wine, the joyous things, the celebratory times, the luxurious things, and oil. We know oil is healing and the anointing and light. Beautiful, beautiful. Say whole life. Restoration of all things. Yeah, amen, Lord.
And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty, be satisfied.
Hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you.
Yes.
And my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall come, it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days I'll pour out my spirit. So see, on the opposite side, there is, look at it at real right now. There is a major concern. Certain states, there are figures that show, I mean, they are devastated by the plague of opioid addiction.
Yeah.
I mean, multiple thousands, not just uneducated people or poor people. These are the middle-class people have been devastated by this addiction. And it is a demonic thing.
Yes.
And therefore, see, the devastation is there. But, you know, and then people are saying, oh, well, here are the figures and here are, you know, last year, 70,000 Americans died just from the addictions. And then so and so on, et cetera. This is the army of restoration. God is raising you up. God wants to anoint you with his Holy Spirit so that not only are you healed and restored, but God wants to put the Holy Spirit in you that you become an instrument. The reason I brought up that, and I had no idea that this is leader of him, one of the main leaders of one of the branch of Christendom, you know, spiritual, but, and then he was using my story here. There was a man and he remembered my name. 20 years ago this happened, and a prophet named Mahesh Chavda called out my, in a big arena.
One of the things that just was so touching, obviously the story was so beautiful, but when he talked about you, he spoke of you with a kind of affection, like you all knew one another as good friends. And you know, that's how the glory is. Our bonds that we have in the Holy Spirit, they are real relational living bonds. So God forbid that we think of the gifts of the Spirit in some kind of a sterile way, some kind of a technical way. It's a person. He's a person that is loving and ministering to persons, you know, one to another. And so, when as the testimony went on, and he would say, and then Mahesh said, and it really warmed my heart. I said, that is so beautiful, so beautiful.
And it was so personal for him that the family was devastated by the sickness and the
afraid, I think, and the
anointing
for her life. Yeah.
So it's for today. The prophetic is for today. The ability, but combine it and be, you are in a sense, this body of believers and this, we were trained so many years and we were disciples. And we were disciples, not only move in the gifts, but then impart them. And to release this, that we need to release an army of healers and restorers. We can't have enough. There are so many people out there that's devastated, and you are being trained, and you know, and then do the stuff as our friend
John Wimber
used to say, do the stuff, do the stuff, move in discerning of spirits, move in prophecy, move in deliverance, move in healing. So I wanted to share another scripture, and then I want to let you guys go because I got to catch a plane.
Yes, I have to catch that plane too.
You are coming.
I am.
I'm so glad. Yes, go ahead.
Well, time.
You have something.
Time yeah. permitting.
Yes, go ahead.
I put together a few images of this parallel restoration of Israel in the outpouring of the Spirit.
Please.
Give us your scripture.
It's a long scripture.
Is it longer than my...
No, I'll just... The Lord says in Ezekiel 36, you can read it later in more details. Thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, because you have been naughty. But for my holy name's sake. So don't get into false humility and say, oh, Lord, I'm a mess.
Mm, we don't that's
do. Good. People have gotten into that way. How can God use me? I've messed up here and all that. But, you know, that's God loves to work through messed up people who have been restored. And he says, but for my name's sake, I will do this. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations which you have profaned. The nations will know that I'm the Lord when I'm hallowed in you before you. For, and then you'd notice how many times he says, for I will take you from among the nations and gather you from all countries. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all filthiness, from all your idols. So it's spiritual filthiness. I'll give you a new heart and I'll put a new spirit within you. And we need it, believe me. I don't know how many of you read that this thing, it was a minor thing, but a quarterback named Drew Brees. Did you hear about what happened to him this last few days? That he just made a video. He's a quarterback. He's famous. And he loves the Lord. And it's encouraging children to take their Bible to school. And it was organized by Focus on the Family. Now, we have known Focus on the Family since we were young pastors. I mean, it was founded in 1977, just 6 months after we were married. Mm-hmm. So they heard we were starting a family, so they started. No, not true. Anyway.
They said, quick, we need to create a ministry before these people have kids.
Anyway. He made this simple video of every child should love to take their Bible to school. So that there was a massive response from the progressive left-wing anti-God. I've got to start
That's
telling,
it. Period.
Saying anti-God.
God, anti-Christ.
They said, this man spoke on behalf of a hate group. I said, what hate group? Focus on the Family. Is a hate group, and read that. Some of this, it's right there. And I said, Focus on the Family is so clean. I mean, they are just they would harm nobody. They're just harmless people who want to direct help people raise, kids that are Christian. And they said, no, these. I never do. They are a hate group. And so for us, churches now are being called hate groups.
Yeah.
If we say anything negative about someone, like for example, I have to be careful. If a man comes to me, 6'7", 300 pounds, muscular, and says, Pastor, I feel like a woman. I would say, come into my office and shut the door, close the windows, and slap him. The fire out of him. Are you delivered yet? No? I mean, and there are people who get, and I'm known for, this place is known for deliverance ministry. They bring, and of course we treat them with kindness. But there was a man that came years ago who thought his left arm did not belong to him.
Yeah.
And he was going to doctors to see if they could amputate him because something made him think, this is not my arm. So that needs deep counseling, want to know. Don't cut it off. You need your arm. But there's all kinds of attacks that people have emotionally. And we can love them, bless, pray for them. Anyway, but this thing, be aware that we need more than ever to hang together.
Yeah.
And hang on to our standards.
Yeah.
For us. And the just this kid, this quarterback saying, take your Bible to school. You are a hate group, member of a hate group. My goodness. Anyway.
The Democratic National Committee passed a resolution in support of the religiously unaffiliated. It sounds very, can't we be inclusive and just all get along? But specifically taking aim at religious liberty. And it says, this is the resolution, whereas those most loudly claiming that morals, values, and patriotism must be defined by their particular religious views have used those religious views with misplaced claims of religious liberty to justify public policy, threatening the civil rights and liberties of Americans, including but not limited to the LGBT community, women, ethnic and religious, and non-religious minorities. So, in kind of a veiled way, not so veiled, they're basically saying, don't you come in here and try to have your morals based on your biblical foundations have anything to do with public policy. That's a national party that's done that. So, the thing that makes me excited is because we see historically this contest. And when the fig tree starts putting on its leaves, you know that summer is near. And one of the things that we have learned in our 45 years of walking in the Spirit or plus is that when God is on the verge of a visitation, of pouring out his Spirit, somewhere in the annals of cosmic hell, the demons start getting nervous and the opposition starts shouting and rising and pressing. And I know for us in our spiritual walk from the time we were very young, our spiritual fathers, Derek and Don Basham, Bob Mumford, some of those guys, in the days of the outpouring that we had the privilege of really being introduced to a lot of the foundations of the Spirit, we learned this principle so that we recognize opposition, what it indicates. It indicates God is up to something, and it always fires us all the more. And if there's one thing that we would love to just re-encourage you with, is that opposition indicates God is getting ready to do something awesome.
Amen.
So let it flip. If it needs to flip around in your brain to where, you know, the first thing is a trepidation when trouble is coming, let it flip and just go, I know what this means. This means, God, you are up to something great. Praise the Lord.
See, so, I will sprinkle clean water on you. You shall be clean. I will give you. Notice how many I wills. In fact, but there are 17 in that paragraph, 17. I will do this. God himself, his word to you. I will give you a new heart. Put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh. Give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people. And I'll be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and multiply it. Bring no famine upon you. I will multiply the fruit of your trees and the increase of your fields so that your bank accounts. So that you need never again bear the reproach of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways no more and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for the iniquities. Anyway, the Lord talks about, I will restore 17 times.
He's determined.
Bless you. I will bless you. I will. So that's the season we are going in. As we celebrate, as we go, we want to go as ambassadors of the watch here to say, thank you, Lord, for your presence. We have been faithfully on the wall of intercession, watching for 25 years unbroken. And I'm so grateful for the grace and for the so proud of this area that's faithfully come to help pray and the watchmen, and we want to go represent you in Israel and in Jerusalem. And thank the Lord, and we're going to be, because of security reasons, they have certain restrictions. So, but we are going to manage one way or the other to be able to park or do something outside of the embassy in Jerusalem.
That's the plaque on the wall outside of the embassy in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. And we've said this before, but it's interesting that the last home that Derek, our spiritual father, who really introduced the understanding, prophetic understanding of the parallel restoration of natural Israel and the spiritual people of God, the church, really introduced it into modern church knowledge and understandings beginning in the 60s from his own life experience. And the last home that Derek lived in Israel before he went to glory, the living room looks directly onto the site that is now the U.S. Embassy. So he didn't live to see, but his prayer sure got answered.
Amen. Amen.
It's beautiful.
God is awesome.
God is awesome.
Hallelujah. Makes us winners. Go on. Stand up for a moment. And if you can remember us, Michael, Heather, Sarah, all of our team will be there. I'm so glad that we could all be together. And you can say a prayer for us as we go. But I want you to raise your hands. Say, restoration.
Restoration.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For your promise. Of cleansing, of restoring. Whatever the devil has stolen,
whatever
this insect army, has devastated,
I receive
by faith
your promise.
You will restore. You are restoring my family.
You are restoring
my children.
You are restoring
my finances.
You are restoring
my city.
You are restoring
my country.
Thank you, Lord.
I officially
welcome
your Holy Spirit.
Thank you,
Holy Spirit,
for coming.
We welcome you because the promise of God, I will pour out my spirit.
I will pour out my spirit
upon all flesh.
Lord,
I am flesh.
I'm flesh.
Pour it out on me.
Pour it out on
my family.
Pour it out in my house.
Let every room
vibrate
with the glory
of the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit,
welcome
in this building. In this church
where
you have come so often.
Come
and stay, Lord.
Come
and stay in my heart.
Thank
you, Holy Spirit,
for
times of refreshing. You are restoring the land, Lord. You are restoring my life. And I give you, Lord Jesus, all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a big clap. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.